If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. We are here for another Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk. And what that means is that we are going to be talking with Ava Bradley and Alexander Chapman. They are from the Boston Outdoor Preschool Network. Welcome, Ava and Alex.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
I'm absolutely thrilled that you are here. So they're going to be talking to us specifically about a new program that is happening at the zoo. And so talking about an outdoor classroom that is actually hosted in a zoo. So we're going to get all into that. But before we get started, I want to tell our listeners that are listening on the podcast that this is an Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk. And what that means is that we are going to be, as we're talking, we're going to be seeing kind of a behind the scenes tour of their amazing program. So if you want to see the tour and the talk, then you can join us in our Circle membership community. And that's where we house all these Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk. So that's one of the benefits of being a Circle member. So again, welcome, Ava. Welcome, Alexandra. Let's get started. So again, I want to welcome you onto the Outdoor Classrooms podcast. And I guess before we get into the thick of it, I would love to have you both tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you come from, and maybe a little snippet about a peek into your journey before coming to Boppin.
So hi, I'm Alex. I came to Boppin just last September. I'm originally from Atlanta in the Georgia area. I went to college in New York. After that, went back to Savannah. Now I've kind of been ping-ponging back from the South and North my whole life. But before coming to Boppin, I worked with the National Park Service at Fort Pulaski for a year. And there I started diving into a lot of, like doing a lot of the education programs and youth engagement things they had going on there. And was like, I would really like to do more of this. Really kind of, especially after COVID, of these kids, you're not in community, you're not getting outside, of seeing then how important that really is, especially for young people to have that connection with their community in the outdoors.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. And Ava?
So hi, I'm Ava. I'm originally from Southern California, just north of LA. And I went to school in Providence, Rhode Island, or actually, little snippet about me, currently go to school in Providence, Rhode Island, but I took the past year off, and that's why I was able to work at Boppin. So I have 1 year left in my undergraduate degree, and I'll be going back to do that next year. But I've really loved my time at Boppin this semester. So I've been here since January. Before coming to Boppin, I had worked at a couple indoor preschools, either through volunteering or through paid work. And I would say that working at Boppin has been like a completely different experience, with some elements of like the same things. I had worked in places with emergent and play-based curriculum before, but never outdoors. So yeah, I'm super excited to talk today about how different that's been, and especially the context of the zoo, like how that's shaped my teaching practice.
I love that. And that's actually my next question is, we talk a lot about outdoor classrooms. And I think what people think is, oh, it's can be in a park, it can be in a zoo, maybe it can be, I mean, not a zoo, not even thinking that the zoo could be an outdoor classroom, it could be on a farm. So how has this, and this is a new program, Boppin does a lot of programs within a variety of different parks in the Boston area. How does teaching outdoors in a zoo, how has that changed your outdoor teaching practice, so to speak? I mean, how... Tell us a little bit about that journey.
I think it really gets to outdoors, because I think normally when we think of outdoors, we're immediately thinking nature. But I think kind of with that idea, it kind of puts aside so many areas or kids who don't have that access to nature, but of course still have that outdoors. And I think that's what I really love about the zoo, is that it's kind of that in between of there is still nature, we're still in nature, we have like access to the behind the scenes of the zoo, so some of the places they have like the stables for some of the animals and things of that nature. And I think with the zoo especially is that we're around people a lot. There's always visitors at the zoo, there's always people coming in doing other things. And so I think while in some parks it can be easy to just see Bopin all day, just see your other classmates, your teachers, at the zoo you're really forced to be in community and communicate with and navigate around other people. I've loved seeing kind of the kids on their own volition be like, we need to make space, there's other people here, or like saying hi to other visitors and really learning to be a person in public, which so many of them, especially a lot of them were like born in the 2020, 2021, hadn't had that chance to do at such a young age. And the zoo kind of really creates that environment.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. And which zoo is it in Boston?
Franklin Park Zoo.
Frank, that's what I thought. So the Franklin Park Zoo, for those that know the Boston area. And Ava, any thoughts on that as well in terms of how it impacted your teaching practice and teaching in an outdoor classroom, which is the zoo?
Yeah. So I'll echo so much of what Alex just said. We've talked before about how much being in community with other people, especially like, you know, the Franklin Park Zoo attracts an audience from like kind of all around Massachusetts. It's like one of the big zoos other than Stone Zoo. And so it gets really busy during like, especially during May, we had a lot of school field trips and things like that. So I think it's just really wonderful for the kids to get the opportunity to interact with so many different people, share space, and also learn about their communities and what types of people are in their community. And then, yeah, I would also say that it, like Alex mentioned this as well, but it has definitely changed the way that I think about nature and the outdoors. I think that there is this preconceived notion that humans are not part of nature and that like humans are separate from their outdoor environment. But I think that the zoo really challenged that and showed that like people and also like global animals, in the sense of like our community broader than just the Boston area, can also be considered part of nature and can be part of that learning experience that comes with an outdoor school that's so unique and specific. So yeah, that is, again, echoing a lot of what Alex already just said. And I think that we're largely on the same page about this, but it's been such a wonderful experience and definitely has challenged me and made me a better educator.
Beautiful, beautiful. So for those that are not seeing the beautiful pictures as we go through, this looks like an incredible activity where you have children drawing kind of what's in front of them. But my question is that this program at the zoo, the Franklin Park Zoo, with the mayor, with working with the Boston Outdoor Preschool Network, that's what Bopin is. How did that come? Do you know how that came to be in working, starting up this program? Because it's only in its first year, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you tell us how it came to be?
Yeah, I'm not too sure some of the specific details, but I do remember because I had actually applied for Bopin last summer, so summer of 2023, right after I had graduated college, and ended up going with something else because I was not sure if I was ready to move to a whole new state, kind of wanted to go back home for a bit. But even then, when I had originally interviewed and hearing about it, I knew that this was on the mind of wanting to increase access to outdoor education, because it is normally so financially limited of being able to pay the tuition, or of course then there's the gear that you have to get for outdoor school. And that was honestly something that drew me back when I had finished with the Park Service, of wanting to see more outdoor education and really appreciating that value that they had of making it more accessible for more kids to be able to enjoy the outdoors in this way. And so I had reached back out and they were like, yeah, no, it's actually underway now. It's coming. And I know Morgan, who is actually in one of the previous pictures where the kids were working on collages, she is the lead teacher in our class. She has done so much work getting this off the ground and making sure that it was ready. She had taught in a lot of other Bopin classes and seen how a lot of that went on. And then being able to bring that into how do we meld Bopin's philosophy with now as part of UPK or Boston Pre-K having to follow these curriculum standards that aren't meant for an outdoor classroom. And I know that was a lot of the work that she had done of making these things to meet, and truly in awe of the work that she's done. And being able to work with her has been so great, and being able to learn from her and putting those things together.
Wow. And yeah. Ava, do you have any insight as well?
I also just want to say, like, huge shout out to Morgan Crowley. She's amazing. And I know that she did so much work to get this program off the ground. So yeah, she definitely deserves that recognition.
That's awesome. So it looks like in this picture, you have indoor spaces. This looks like, I'm just looking at the words here, a river bank. Can you describe, I mean, they're all in their gear and I absolutely love it. So obviously what the season that we know, and they're going obviously in and out. So can you highlight what's going on here?
So this is, a zookeeper was explaining to us about Barry the blue-tongued skink. This is part of the Bird World exhibit at the Franklin Park Zoo. And so they have different exhibits within the same building that showcase birds of different types in their different habitats. And so this is like an example of, I feel like, so much of what was valuable about being at the zoo as well, that we got to interact with zookeepers and zoo staff. And they have so much knowledge about the animals and about the zoo and the environment that the animals live in. So this was like a great opportunity for the kids to learn about like habitats and how animals interact with the natural world, and just to meet a really sweet animal and a sweet zookeeper.
I love what you said about just having access that you've got this whole other staff there that can also be so beneficial. And I think that speaks to just tapping into, this is what we talk about here at Outdoor Classrooms all the time, is really tapping into your community resources, and to actually have your program on the campus of a zoo and everything that comes with that is just the epitome of building community. So yeah. So can you give me kind of a little bit of a focus of your program? What would a regular day look like?
Yeah. So a regular day is we start with our morning circle outside of the zoo and then make our way in. And usually before our adventure spot, but sometimes after, we'd then go to an exhibit. Maybe we'd see the gorillas were always super popular. Everyone wanted to see Pablo, especially because he's actually the same age as them. So they were like, that's our friend. We're the same age. And then head over to an adventure spot where we'd have snack and then have centers on our tarps out. Or sometimes if we're at an area with some picnic tables, do them there. As you can see here, we had some art tables out for them to do. And a lot of it is them kind of choosing what they want to do. As Ava kind of mentioned earlier, very child-directed and emergent. And so even though we are following Boston Pre-K standards, we're kind of bringing them in a way where it's great because they're specifically, you know, on animals. And then, of course, at the zoo, it's why just read a book when we can go see it? Why not read this book while we're sitting outside of this exhibit where we can then go in person and see how what the story was telling us acts in real life? And then I know at the beginning we were kind of worried of, will they want to engage with all of this curriculum, especially some of them who had come from other BOPIN classes, which weren't as, I don't know if structured is the right word, but weren't following curriculum in this way. And yet, because it was connected to things right in front of them, they really jumped right in. They were wanting to do these small group activities. They were wanting to work on their lettering, work on their numbering, and then apply it to building something or then drawing a whole bunch of dots on a ladybug and counting them because it was right in front of them.
Mm, I love that. Ava, did you want to add anything that we might have missed or?
Yeah. So thinking about, I mean, I can also see that your next question is how we incorporate the zoo into standards and nature.
Yes.
but just to add to that point about BPK, I think that it has really taught me that curriculum needs to be adaptable for like any situation. And like the zoo was a very specific context, and outdoor school is a very specific context, but also every classroom has a different context. And the fact that we were able to implement this curriculum in an outdoor setting kind of shows that it is developed in a way that is, it's in some ways emergent and play-based and does follow the interests of children at large and is able to be adapted to different classroom environments. So I really appreciated having being exposed to the curriculum that we had. And I think that it's definitely not mutually exclusive with having like nature-based, play-based education. And in fact, I think that in some ways they like uplifted each other and made each, it was the best of both worlds in a certain way. And so, yeah, I think that it definitely sounds daunting to be implementing some of these activities in the outdoors, especially with different weather conditions. And, you know, they're wearing all their gear. It's a little bit harder to like hold writing implements and things like that. And, you know, if it's like freezing outside, then paint will freeze, something that we definitely but then when we were able to do it, it felt like it was a huge accomplishment. And like it really showed that BPK's curriculum is adaptable and flexible and really well developed.
And alluding to that is you've talked about meeting standards and all of that. Can you talk a little bit about that as well? That, and I know you've talked already in bits and pieces, but how does your curriculum and even your play-based, all of that emergent curriculum, how does that meet those standards? And is it something that you look at after the experience, or is it something that when you are planning that's you're planning on, oh, we're going to hit this standard in terms of, I would love to know your approach.
Yeah, I think part of it, it's kind of both the before and the after.
Yeah.
I think when we're getting materials together, we're thinking, okay, what materials do we have that kind of align with some of the planning that BPK has in the curriculum guide for week 12 or whatever week that we're on. And then afterwards, seeing, did this work? Is there a way that we can do it better where it melds? And I think the zoo in particular, as you said earlier, Bopin has a lot of sites. I think the zoo is particularly primed for the BPK curriculum because there's the animals, there's the nature, and there's the people aspect, which is so much of BPK curriculum. It's building our working city. It's animals growing and changing. And that's something that is so easily accessible or very visible within the zoo in order to make those connections with the standards. And I think that was a great part of bringing in that nature-based curriculum with the standards of these things that they're learning happen in nature. They're not learning things that are so outside of the realm of anything they'll experience. They're learning these things that they are experiencing and will experience as they get older. And in the zoo and outdoor school, when there's you know, no walls and they're interacting with the zoo community, they're experiencing it so much more, I don't know if intensely is a word, but I guess more tangibly to be able to make those connections from a book to seeing it in real life or these counting things. And then they're going and wanting to count how much they saw or looking at maps, not just learning about them, but utilizing them and seeing the direct connection between what I'm learning in school and what I'm doing in real life.
I love that.
I think that something I was thinking about also with this question is that Bopin in general has moved towards using like a standards-based evaluation with each child. And so I know that the one for the zoo in specific was based off of the early learning standards like in Massachusetts and the Boston early learning standards. But in general, I think evaluation is something that's really interesting in the preschool context because there are so many developmental milestones that they're reaching, and it's important to like be tracking that. And as educators, we have such a important window into children's development. But yeah, I think one of my most like teachable experiences for myself was like filling out those evaluations at the end of the year and seeing the connections between the ways that our curriculum was supporting development. Like I could see when I was evaluating or like ranking the like children's development in different areas, you can see how we were working towards those standards in our daily like routines and curriculum and just the way that we go about the program. And I know that that is also like a new practice for other Bopin teachers. And so I think it's another thing of like, how do we apply this thing that exists in preschools in general to outdoor schools? And I think it's obviously a learning process, but it was eye-opening to me.
Yeah. I think educators get overwhelmed that, oh, there's, you know, outdoor and how am I going to connect it? And to actually have an assessment tool to say, to connect, make those dots connect is a gift, really. It's a really eye-opening. I would love to learn more about any memorable experiences that or success stories from the children that you're working with or your own success stories in your own teaching practice, even that aha moment I would love to hear more about those and even just highlighting. So I love these pictures because it really showcases the different environment. I mean, it doesn't, and what you said very early on in terms of, yeah, we're out in nature. It's just a different type of nature experience as opposed to, so I love that. And that's the vibe that I'm getting from these beautiful, beautiful pictures. So any memorable experiences or success stories that you'd like to share?
I feel like there are so many that we could touch on. Like, it's hard to say. Something I'm thinking about is one of my aha moments early on, and when I, because I started at the zoo in January, and so I was coming into a school year and a school dynamic that already existed and kind of figuring out how it worked. And I remember there was one day where we were at one of their favorite adventure spots called the log spot, and we figured out that if you turn over the logs, there's like a bunch of different bugs under them. And I had had this experience a little bit in other bopping classes that I had subbed in early in January. And so I think it was just a moment where I was like, oh, at the zoo, there are experiences that are so similar. And nature and animals exist on so many different scales and can be found just like everywhere you look. And so they had a lot of fun that day. And then when we came back to that spot, they often would roll over the logs and look for worms and other bugs. And also moss was a big one, and like different fungi. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my like little aha moments. And I'm trying to think if there are any like specific success stories that I would want to highlight. But overall, I think that I just saw so much success with like the children being in an outdoor environment. And that was like the big thing that stood out to me, is that they do so well when they have the space to like exert their energy in a way that's like developmentally appropriate. And yeah, they just really thrived. I think we had a class full of kids who really liked being outdoors.
Yeah, that's awesome. And mm-hmm. Alex?
Yeah, I think a memorable moment for me is there was one day where it was just raining so hard. It had flooded an area that we were in, kind of making a pond. It was in the lion spot. It was right between the giraffes and the lions. You have two amazing animals on both sides. And I remember because of that, there's, of course, we can't put out paper materials in the same way. So kind of thinking of how do we still put out some things that can provoke playing. And then I remember we put out the buckets and shovels and they started building a dam because mm-hmm. it was kind of in a valley. They started pouring the water. Some of the students wanted to make a waterfall, and then some of the other ones wanted to stop it. And they were working together of, okay, how can we get our waterfall over their dam? And the other ones were like, how can we stop this waterfall and keep like cool? And just seeing them, that engaged them for over an hour. That was the only thing they did that day. And yet seeing how much came out of that, of the problem solving, then they were like, of course, dealing with engineering, like truthfully. And then also with each other of, this is my goal, this is your goal, how do we work together? And that we both are doing our own projects, but respecting each other's at the same time, which I thought was beautiful. And thinking of a success story, it's kind of a small one, but one that always stuck with me, because so many of them, they love playing. This is something they love. And there was a student who, he wouldn't always let us know when he needed to go to the bathroom because he wanted to keep playing. But we ended up doing an activity where we were like, fine, we'll time it. And then he took the counters and we compared the times, and seeing it in real life, of that realization of that I can have fun in this way, of to bring in math, of something that in my mind doesn't use math, of potty training, and then seeing that be the thing that, seeing him come to the realization of, oh, I am losing more time when I have an accident versus if I just say I need to go. And like seeing that click, and then seeing in the days like later of him coming to that realization himself, and then having even more fun playing, because now it is really child-led, of we're not having to tell him or ask him to, hey, we need to change, we need to do this, of seeing him come into his own for that goal of, I'm having so much fun and I want to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And how do I let myself do that? Was just one of my biggest successes, I think. I like being that click was amazing.
So we've talked about a typical day, and I just looking at these beautiful pictures and love, you know, the watercolor, and I love that they're all wearing these jerseys. So you don't lose anybody. the counting mechanism. Just, I guess, here, thinking about your larger community in terms of the parents And if you're working with any other teachers that are really adapting, even the other staff that are at the zoo in terms of that curriculum and outdoor learning environment, how are you working with them? How are you, again, we're back at the zoo. How does, you have all these incredible resources. How are you tapping into that? I guess that's my question. I sort of, we've talked about that a bit, but I just want to see if there's any way we can dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I think one thing that comes to mind is that we had really, really wonderful and engaged families. And I think that also, we owe a lot of that like success in terms of family engagement to Morgan as well, our family engagement coordinator and lead teacher. And I think it was just really wonderful when like families would come to visit, like we would have parents or like even grandparents come and visit the class and volunteer with us. And so that was really wonderful. It was great to have extra hands. And also the kids would be so excited to like, well, the children of the parents would be so excited to have their parent in class, of course. But then also the other kids would be so excited to meet a new person in their community, meet a friend's parent. So that was really wonderful. And then also, yeah, we already touched on this, but having the zoo staff be so close and involved with the class was so valuable and so wonderful. And there's just fantastic people at the zoo who work so well with kids and understand kids so well. And so I think we just had such a wealth of resources in our community that really made it, it just made it a really wonderful experience for the kids.
It sounds like it. Incredible.
Yeah. And I think something kind of with that of having the engaged families, I think, and you mentioned earlier of building that relationship of really tapping into community resources. And I think especially, I think it's such a choice to choose public school when there are private schools available. And especially when it comes to outdoor school, where private outdoor schools is the norm. This is like the first of its kind of being a completely free, aligned with APK standards, part of the universal pre-K model thing. And so it's a deliberate choice to go for that public school option. And I think that really showed in how involved families wanted to be. And the zoo as well, staff, with that picture earlier of us meeting Barry, there were very few times where I can't even think of one off the top of my head where it was something that we asked for. It was more so they saw us there all the time and they were like, hey, we have to feed them today. Would you like to see them? Would you like to help feed them? They also really wanting the kids to have this experience and really believing in that mission of accessible education and how can we make this work? Because on its surface, as Ava was kind of talking about earlier, it doesn't seem like it necessarily should, especially because curriculum, I think, tends to have that connotation of being very structured and outdoor school has the connotation of being the opposite. But I think everyone was very committed to making this work because of how important it was as a program. And then, of course, for the kids to have this experience and be able to say that this was their, they went to kindergarten from an outdoor preschool and it was all in that public school sphere.
That, and that's, thank you for noting that, because I think that's such a key important component that, that it is in that public school sphere. We've already talked about this community play and supporting your outdoor space. So I just wanted to highlight these incredible, incredible pictures in terms of from everything from how you're traveling from space to space to what the children are wearing, the proper gear, these vests that they've, that neon vests so they can be seen. They know that they're supposed to be in that group. And it just seems like from the pictures, just a very well-oiled machine. So this looks like a map and you're, someone's explaining kind of where they might be going in the zoo is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, we have a number of kids who were very fascinated with the maps. Because they're, you know, posted all over the zoo. They're so colorful. And how easily that went into some of the units of, there's, of course, other maps that they're aware of, but why not use the ones right in front of us? And they got really excited thinking, okay, if we're here, where's this? Especially later in the year, as they got to know the space more, then they were able to look at a pit, like a 2D picture and know the 3D layout of it. And I think that was something that they took a lot of pride in, was being experts on the zoo. As Ava said earlier, they were so excited when either their parents or other parents came. And part of that excitement was showing them, this is what Zool School is like. This is how we act. This is where we go. I know what I'm doing. And I think that was definitely kind of building that autonomy and like self-confidence of, this is not just a place I visit, but this is a place I'm a part of.
This is my place. Yeah. Which is all that, that early ed curriculum. So for both of you, I want you to think about it for a little bit. If you were to give one seed of inspiration to either an educator, a fellow educator, or a parent, or a leader, what would that be based on your experience in the zoo, Franklin Park Zoo? What would that seed of inspiration be?
My first thought is like just hearkening back to all the conversation we've had about community today. But I think like the seed of inspiration that I'm thinking of is just to never discount the resources that you have like right in front of you with your surrounding community. Building on like the funds of knowledge framework, there's so much value in the knowledge that children are bringing from their home communities and that children are bringing when they bring their parents in and their families in. And so I think it's just like the most invaluable part of the things that are right in front of you, that you already, the tools that you already have in your toolbox just by virtue of having a class full of students. So yeah, I know that's like a little bit broad and a little bit vague.
It's really not though, because what I think of when you say that is that I may, maybe sometimes as educators, we think we come from a place of scarcity. And to actually think of if we change our, flip that mindset over and we come from a place of abundance, it's truly thinking, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, because if we flip that over, and that's exactly what you all have done, you've flipped over the scarcity of not enough programs in a city. And let's tap into this incredible resource at the Franklin Park Zoo and see what we can make of it. And with that comes all these incredible fellow educators that are educating in another light. It's just, there's so much, again, so many resources, and it does bring that whole community piece home. So yeah, it makes me think about scarcity versus abundance. I love that. And Alex, what would be your seed of inspiration?
I think the thing that comes to mind for me is kind of similar of not discounting, but not underestimating the wonder and all the whimsy to be found in the mundane or the everyday. Mm-hmm. I know when we first started the zoo, something I was worried about was, we're seeing these animals every day. Is that going to get boring for them? Is seeing the same things over and over, is that going to kind of reach a point where there's no more, or that there's kind of that plateau? Mm-hmm. And yet every time they were just as excited. These things that I think we can take for granted and nature that's around us, they were so excited about day after day to find new ways of engaging with it, new ways of making it their own and really finding their place in different ways in this space. And I think that it is every day, and there are of course going to be those mundane things we find, but there's still so much wonder, and I think it's always worth it to still do it. I think sometimes we're like, do we skip it today or do we do it again? And I think the answer is always do it again, because there's always something more to find. And the students just inspired me of what they were able to pull out, that I was like, you're teaching me of how to kind of tap back into that like childhood wonder and whimsy of this is the one world we have. This is the one life we have. And you can get to make that what it is, even when it's, if you're doing the same thing every day or seeing the same thing every day, there's always something you can make new out of that.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Absolutely. Yeah. It does make you think about these pieces of children today are in such an environment, or we're putting them in environments that everything has to be really fast so we can keep them engaged. But it's when we slow down. But when, as you were talking, the first thing I thought of was that image that you had of someone showing the children the map. And your story about, yes, now this zoo is their home. It's become part of them. And I love to sort of think about then what the memories that you all are creating and the memories they're creating and all those memories you're creating together, and how that's going to impact their growth as a human being. You know, will they work in a zoo when they get older? Will they have this memory of being in this program and then raising their children in a nature-based program? So thinking about the domino effect, thinking about the ripple effect of everything that we're doing every single day is incredibly powerful. I could talk to the two of you all day long. I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing. You are so well-spoken. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for all the work that you are doing to make this happen and to give this gift, essentially, of this experience to our children. And again, there is a beautiful ripple effect because you did talk about their families coming and how proud they were and are of this space that they've learned to become their own. So with that, where could we find you and how can we learn more? And again, I'll have all of this information in the show notes.
So you can find us at our website at bopn.org, boppin.org. I know that our executive director was very happy to get that URL. And I can also pull up the phone number. That would be helpful. Our admissions phone number.
Put that in the show notes.
So, okay. That's good. Yeah.
Perfect.
But you can find us at and like various different locations around the greater Boston area. We're on Jamaica Plain in Roslindale at the Arnold Arboretum. We're in Milton at Eustace Estate and Forbes House Museum, in Malden at Pine Banks Park, and in Sudbury at Woolbach Farm. And yeah, you can find us in those places and all around and hopefully in more places soon.
That's awesome. Incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. This was just such a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more about enrolling in the certification program. Don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.